From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Paul at Troas and Assos, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 13. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. Lo, the flowery month has come. March winds and April showers have done their work, and the earth is all bedecked with beauty. Come, my soul, put on thine holiday attire, and go forth to gather garlands of heavenly thoughts. Thou knowest whither to betake thyself, for to thee the beds of spices are well known, and thou hast so often smelled the perfume of the sweet flowers, that thou wilt go at once to thy well-beloved, and find all loveliness, all joy in him. That cheek, once so rudely smitten with a rod, oft bedewed with tears of sympathy, and then defiled with spittle, that cheek, as it smiles with mercy, is as fragrant aromatic to my heart. Thou didst not hide thy face from shame and spitting, O Lord Jesus, and therefore I will find my dearest delight in praising thee. Those cheeks were furrowed by the plough of grief, and crimsoned with red lines of blood from thy thorn-crowned temples. Such marks of love unbounded cannot but charm my soul far more than pillars of perfume. If I may not see the whole of his face, I would behold his cheeks, for the least glimpse of him is exceedingly refreshing to my spiritual sense, and yields a variety of delights. In Jesus I find not only fragrance, but a bed of spices, not one flower, but all manner of sweet flowers. He is to me my rose and my lily, my heart's ease and my cluster of camphor. When he is with me, it is May all the year round, and my soul goes forth to wash her happy face in the morning dew of his grace, and to solace herself with the singing of the birds of his promises. Precious Lord Jesus, let me in very deed know the blessedness which dwells in abiding, unbroken fellowship with thee. I am a poor, worthless one, whose cheek thou hast deigned to kiss. Oh, let me kiss thee in return with the kisses of my lips.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Having concluded his third missionary journey, Paul started back toward Jerusalem, despite several warnings against doing so. Yet, as Dr. Cairns is seeking to show, Paul felt led of the Spirit to return to Jerusalem, knowing that he would probably be arrested there. On the way, he stopped at four different locations, including Troas and Assos. His experience in each of those places teaches a number of important truths. In Troas, we'll see something of the biblical teaching about worship and fellowship. There is particular emphasis here upon the proper observance of the Lord's Day. Now to continue this message, Paul at Troas and Assos, here is Dr. Cairns.
If, as we are told, Christians do not have to keep the Christian Sabbath, what sort of a doubtful blessing would that be? What a doubtful blessing it would be. Have you ever known a country to prosper that forsook the Sabbath day, desecrated it, made it a day of commerce and of sport and of all sorts of worldly activity? Have you ever known that country to be spiritual or to be blessed with a mighty movement of the Holy Ghost? Have you ever known it? Unless that movement brought them back to the Sabbath day? My friend, it is a very doubtful blessing for any country to forsake or to be allowed to forsake the Lord's Day. Have you ever known a church to be a strong, Bible-believing, preaching church? A church that uplifts Christ, that stands in the great Reformed doctrines of our Protestant faith and heritage? Have you ever known a church that's strong in the doctrines of grace, that has felt at liberty to forsake the Lord's Day and its observance? Have you? Have you ever known a family to be strengthened? Have you ever known the family altar to be built? Have you ever known children to love the Lord more simply because their parents tell them there is no necessity to regard the Lord's Day? So if it were something allowable that we didn't have to observe the Lord's Day, I think in the face of it you would see that is a very doubtful boon and blessing indeed. But what the Lord has set up, the Lord means to remain set up. Let's remember that the Lord gave on Mount Sinai 10 commandments. 10 commandments. Now, I know in modern times we say, well, I don't, but it is said that only 9 of these commandments are now to be observed in New Testament times. Now, I think that a moment's recollection would make a Christian afraid to say that. That God, with his own finger on tables of stone, wrote 10 commandments, and now, by some queer exegesis and system of interpretation, Almighty man can come to the Decalogue and can say, I wipe out one of those commandments. Let me tell you, on the face of it, any system of interpretation that demands that what God wrote with his finger should be wiped out is open to very, very severe questioning. God gave 10 commandments. Then, of course, we are told, well, all the other 9 commandments are repeated in the New Testament, and the 4th commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is not given in the New Testament. Well, I have said this before, but I'll say it again. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and let's see what the Holy Ghost says. And never let it be said again. Never let it be said again that the Holy Ghost has not recorded the 4th commandment in the New Testament. Because Hebrews 4, if you want to get the whole connection, you'll find that chapter 3 from verse 7 goes right through to chapter 4 and through that chapter, forming one subject. It's on the subject of God's rest. Now, not the rest that God himself is resting in, but the rest which God has provided for his people. Now, you'll find that on 10 occasions the word rest is used. 10 occasions. On 9 of those occasions, the same word is continually used. Now, just as a matter of interest, what is that rest? I want you to see something. in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." Most preachers take the rest in Hebrews 3, and especially Hebrews 4, as meaning heaven. Well, when you believe, you don't physically enter into heaven, do you? You're still on earth, believe it or not. So, I know we are in the heavenlies in Christ, but that's not the drift of the meaning here. We enter into rest. What is that rest? It's salvation. That's what it is. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's salvation. And that's the rest that is continually before us in Hebrews chapter 4. Until you come to chapter 4 and verse 9. Now watch it carefully. If you've got a marginal reference, you'll not have to take my word for it. We now come to this verse which says, "There remaineth." Now, the word "remaineth," if you go back to verse 1, you'll get its meaning. For a very, very similar word. Same in meaning. Very, very similar in makeup. Is translated "being left." Left to us. Now, let's put that in chapter 9. "There is left, therefore, a rest," or "a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God." That's the word. The word is sabbatismos. It occurs once in the New Testament. It is taken, of course, being Greek, it is taken from the Greek version of the Old Testament scriptures, where the verb means to keep the Sabbath. That's the only meaning the word can have. It is not open to any man's interpretation. We have no right to trifle with the Word of God, especially a fundamentalist who's standing for the inspiration, the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. How far is this Bible inspired? I believe that when God gave His Word, He gave every letter inspired. Scripture says every jot and every tittle of the law is inspired. How dare anyone then come to trifle with a whole word? There is left, literally from what has gone before, there is left to the people of God a keeping of the Sabbath. Now I want you to notice this, that God doesn't say there is laid upon them as an onerous burden. He does not say there is put upon them as a killjoy. He says there is left to them just as a promise is left, just as a blessing is left, just as an inheritance is left. So He says there is left to the people of God a keeping of the Sabbath. There is something left to bless them. There is something left to do them good. And I tell you, if we as God's people would do what the early church did and be careful in our observance of the Sabbath rest which God has given us, it would certainly do us good. So we learn that there is a rest for the people of God. Now look at verse 10, which is a verse that has led to many, many interpretations. "He that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Most interpreters take this as when a Christian goes into heaven, he rests from all his labors as God did in the day of creation. I think when you look at that, and look at the verse, it's very far-fetched. Certainly far-fetched. I don't think that's what the verse is teaching at all. It's true, certainly, when a Christian enters into the rest of salvation, he ceases depending on his own works, but you couldn't say he ceases from his work, because you only begin to work when you're saved. That's the beauty of entering into God's rest in salvation. You start to work for the first time in your life. You work for God, not to be saved, but because you are saved. So what does this mean then? Who is it who has entered into His own rest? I believe it's the Lord Jesus. He's the one who's entered into His own rest, as God entered into His after creation. Now, there are two great works set here in opposition, or at least in contrast. Creation. When God finished His work, He entered into rest. What's the other great work? It's the new creation. It's redemption. And when Christ finished his work, he entered into rest. He finished. His is a finished work. He works no more for the salvation of sinners. He has wrought it all. Jesus paid it all on Calvary's center cross. And so we have him entering into his rest. Now notice that in that 10th verse, therefore, there is a contrast between the day that God marked as a day of rest, consequent upon creation, that's the seventh day, and the day that the Lord Jesus sanctified. There is the thought of a difference here. Never let it be said again that it was a Roman emperor changed the day. It was the Son of God changed the day. And I think that's clearly indicated in the 10th verse. Of course, we're told Colossians 2 and verse 16 tells us that you're not to let any man judge you in respect of Sabbath days. Well, let's just look at Colossians 2 for a moment. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat. So Christians have no longer to be judged by the old standards of the ceremonial law as to what is clean and what is unclean. What is wholesome is now available to a Christian to eat. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink. Under the law, even pure water could be unclean under given circumstances. In respect of an holy day or of the new moon, the Jews kept the lunar month, and the beginning of each month was the new moon, and it was a day marked by special religious observance. And we're told you're not to be judged in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now I want you to notice this. In this list, everything is Jewish. Everything is Jewish. And we are told that you are not bound to keep the Jewish Sabbath. Now put it all together. You're not bound to keep the Jewish Sabbath. Hebrews 4, there is left to the people of God a keeping of the Sabbath. If it's not the Jewish Sabbath, what Sabbath is it? It's the first day of the week. And while I don't want to digress any further, I've gone far enough. If you go back to the writing of the law in the book of Exodus, you'll find something that God does not actually in the fourth commandment mention the seventh day of the week. A seventh day, a seventh portion of time, yes, but of the week is not inserted, deliberately so, because it can be interpreted in consonance with the New Testament Sabbath just as easily as the old. So they observed the Lord's day. Let me say this. I believe that the richest blessings of God await the honoring of the Lord, and especially in his own day. Oh, we are told that every day should be a holy day to a Christian, so there's no difference. Yes, every day should be a holy day to a Christian. But every day can't be a day of rest. For if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. Every day cannot be a day of congregational worship. Every day cannot be a Sabbath day, whereas every day can be and ought to be a day in which we seek to serve the Lord. You may as well say every meal to a Christian should be a sanctified meal. Don't we say grace? Don't we say whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, enable us to do all to the glory of God? But because every meal is a sanctified meal, do we refuse to eat and drink at the Lord's table? Would that not be folly? Because every day is a holy day of service, ought we to refuse the Sabbath day, which the Lord has ordained for our observance? Let's remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do not profane the Sabbath day. Do not do work which is unnecessary on the Sabbath day. Do not give employment to people who would not need to be working without your giving them employment on the Sabbath day. Oh, I know that this is totally, completely out of line with modern evangelical thinking. I know when I say this, I'm going against not just the current of thought in modern America and the modern world. I suppose I'm going against 95%, maybe more, of even those whom we love and work with in the gospel. And I trust you remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I tell you, God blesses those who honor Him. May God enable us so to do.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.